Think bigger, fix everything. That was the theme of the recent Communities in Control conference held by Our Community, which brought together progressive leaders, thinkers, and community agitators from across Australia to prompt action towards solutions to society's toughest problems. The Wire sent reporter Judith Peppard along to the conference with a mission to interview as many of the speakers as she could corner over the 2 days. Today, we hear from Dr. Ramona Villarasa, architect of the Gender Legislative Index, the first comprehensive IT-based tool to make legislation better for women. She spoke with Judith about the ways the law can address inequality for women.
It's about rethinking when we write legislation, who is likely to be affected by this piece of legislation, and is the law actually playing its part in correcting discrimination, or is it embedding discrimination in the way it's written?
One of the things you've said in the past is that we need to step away from neutrality in the law to transform decades of discrimination. But what do you mean by neutrality?
Well, women's activism in this space has gone through such a revolution. So we called for neutrality, feminist activists. We wanted laws to get rid of male-centric language, he or chairman, and replace it with them or chairperson. And we thought, well, the revolution has been won. We arrived, but we hadn't arrived, because what often resulted is that the law blanked out altogether women, and it failed to acknowledge the way women experience the law and the way the law might need to be written differently to take into account the way women experience the law, the way women experience workplaces or the home. And so what's really needed is gender responsiveness, where we ask ourselves questions about how women are likely to experience the law, whether the law promotes women's access to services, to information, whether the law protects women's confidentiality, whether the law actually seeks to promote equality. So these are questions we actively need to ask, because the end goal has to not be neutrality, but actually gender responsiveness, a consciousness of the difference between men and women in the law.
You've described just now gender-responsive legislation, and you also talk about gender-neutral, gender-blind, and gender-regressive. Can you give me some examples of a gender-regressive law?
Well, I think the classic example of a gender-regressive law are laws that criminalise women's safe access to abortion services. But I also talk a lot about paid parental leave in Australia, and really paid parental leave should be a gender-responsive law. But if parental leave is only provided to one partner, typically mothers, it ends up being regressive, because it promotes a gender stereotype where only women are primary carers, which creates greater burdens on women to work part-time, to leave the workplace, to juggle more of that care at home. And it's stopping Australia from getting to a situation of shared care. So what would really typically be a gender-responsive law is actively working quite regressively.
How long has your index been available?
Just over a year, but the Australian laws were only added late last year. So the index has 134 laws evaluated from Australia, Indonesia, Sri Lanka and the Philippines. But there's so much more than just the evaluations. There's the 7 questions that guide each law. There's the benchmarks on what good law looks like. Because one of the key things we need to remind ourselves is there's a lot of good practice out there. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's about looking to other countries and to good legislation and seeing whether they can make Australian laws work better.
So you've had a look at Australian law in relation to women. How's it looking?
I think we have a long way to go. We are moving in the right direction in some examples. We have some tax reforms. We have some good family law reforms. But there's certain laws that are really holding us back. Paid parental leave, where only one partner has access to the leave. Dad and partner pay schemes that don't provide enough paternity leave. 2 weeks is not enough. So these are the kind of laws where we need to look for law reform. We have some really incredible internationally leading legislation, such as the law that established the Workplace Gender Equality Agency. We need not be shy about this. We have good practice, but we also need to be comfortable looking to other countries for good practice about how to reform our gender regressive legislation.
And my sense of people listening to your presentation was that they were very fired up. What can people do to progress good laws for women in Australia?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that people are fired up. I mean, the last 6 months have really been a turning point for gender equality in this country. So much has been said, so many stories have come out that have really motivated women, and it's unsurprising that so many women marched and took to the streets. But I think we need to be really conscious of the role of our leadership in being answerable. It's about asking government to be accountable for law reform, for budgeting for women's services, for actually following through, for monitoring that the promises are actually met and that those promises are actually delivering the kind of results that they need to deliver.
Dr. Ramona V. Urasa, architect of the Gender Legislative Index, speaking with The Wire's Judith Peppard.